Perek, something on each perek in Kehelas, so today we'll do something on Perakei. I'm going to share with you a Moritik Yesoid from the Stipler, Zatzal, that also connects to all the Tfilas of Yom Neroyim, and it's Mamish, the first couple of Psukim here in Kehelas, Perakei. The Pasuk says, Al Tivahel Al Picho, you shouldn't be fast. Behola is, you know, confusion. You're saying something without focus would make sense. And your mouth shouldn't be fast to say something in front of Hashem. And then it says a reason. You know why? Hashem is in Shemayim, you're on the ground. So therefore, your words should be few. Doesn't so much flow. I shouldn't do things fast. Then it says, because Hashem is in Shemayim and I'm on the Oretz. Even though Maloich al Oretz Kvoidoi. And therefore, your words should be few. It's not a flow. So, the Zohar HaKadosh, Taka learns that it's primarily the Pasuk's talking about saying things with Kavonah. The Zohar HaKadosh says you should be careful, Kshata Mispal Lefnei Hashem, Sheloi Lohitzi Amilim B'Merutze. Right? The Evan Ezra, over here in this Pirush on Kehelas, he talks about all the piyutim. He doesn't like all the extra things they add to the machzorim. Piyutim, people don't know what they're saying. It makes people say things they don't really know what they're saying. That's like this. Al tevaal picha. Just to say things. Yud varacha muatim. The way the Eben Ezra learns. Like the Shulchan Aruch says in Ilchas Tfila. Toiv ma'at besachlunim. It's good to do less with kavana than to do a lot without kavana. That type of idea. Shaloi yispalu, shaloi bekavone. Anyway, it's not clear also the hemshech. Hashem is in Shemayim, you're on the Oretz. Well, what is this? So, there are kama pirushim acherim to explain what's going on here, and they're all a little bit difficult. The Yerushalmi in Brachas Perek Dalet in Tfilas HaShachar, the Yerushalmi says as follows. Yerushalmi seems to say it's good to daven, it's good to say a lot. Here the Pasuk says, Yud Varecha Muatim, Hashem is Shemayim, you're Ba'aretz, Yud Varecha Muatim, so therefore don't do a lot of talking. The Yerushalmi says as follows. The Yerushalmi is darshaning the Pasuk at the beginning of Shmuel, when Chana went to daven for a child. We spent time on that Perek. She went to daven for a child. So the Pasuk over there says that she was marba betfila. Right? Azoi shteit in Pasuk. She was marba, Chana was marba betfila. The Gemara here, the Yerushalmi brings down, Om Rav Yechanon, Rav Shim ben Chalafta, B'Shem Rav Meir, V'hoya ki hir besol l'spala l'fnei Hashem. That's the Lashon. She was marba betfila. She was davening a lot. And what does the pasuk say? Right after that, what's the next words? That Eli heard. So what does Remeir tell us? Mikan shekol amarba betfila hunene. If you marba betfila, if you do a lot of davening, you're going to be answered. So here, the Yerushalmi is b'shem Remeir. The Yerushalmi is advocating, not Stam, the Yerushalmi is advocating that you should be marbe betfila. Yeah. Now, go to the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Samach Aleph, the end of Brachas. And the Gemara brings out another member from Reb Meir. Again, the member in Yerushalmi was B'Shem Reb Meir. Kol amarbe betfila nene. It's good to die, it's good to be marba betfila.
Zogt die Gemara, Oma Avune, Oma Rav, Mishum Rav Meir. Lo oilom yiu dvorov shel odom u otim lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Zogt the Bavli, comes the Bavli, and the Bavli says, you should always have fewer words with Hashem.
Mu otim lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Shenemar, as it says in Koheles, this pasuk, Al tevar l'spicha v'libcha l'yemar l'yitzidov l'fnei Elohim. Right? So what do we see here? L'chor, we see from the Bavli the exact opposite from the Yerushalmi. Now that alone, a lot of times the Bavli Yerushalmi, it's still a chiddush that the Imam is going in opposite directions. That the Bavli is taking the pasuk and saying that a person should our pasuk from Koheles and saying, "Don't you dvarachem uatim? Don't daven a lot. Don't have a lot of words with Hashem." And the Yerushalmi is going the opposite, saying, "Kol amarbe betfilu nene." But what makes it more difficult, even though this is a Bavli and this is a Yerushalmi, is that they're both b'shem Rav Meir. The dover nifla that b'shem Rav Meir darshening two psukim in opposite directions. Marbe betfila the Yerushalmi is nene, right away your answer. And Reb Meir is telling us in the Bavli, in Perek HaRoi, and the Brochas, Tav Samach Aleph, that Shloima HaMelech is advising us, you should have Dvorim Muatim. It's also unclear the Hemshech of, because Hashem is Bashamayim, and Ata Ba'aretz, it's also very unclear. What does that mean? I mean, is it fascinating Nefesh HaChaim, maybe I'll share that with you. Reb Chaim Volozhiner wrote an amazing sefer, Nefesh HaChaim, wrote many amazing sefer, but one of them is the Nefesh HaChaim. So Nefesh HaChaim has different shorim, and the one that's mostly learned is the one Shar Dalet. That they learn in the yeshivas of people, at least they used to learn that in the yeshivas. Shar Aleph is more mystical. It's not learned so much in the Nefesh HaChaim. But if we open up Shar Aleph, he actually brings this pasuk in Koheles. He has a whole different uptaich. He taiches, I'm just talking about when the pasuk says in Koheles, says, watch what you say. Because Hashem is in Shemayim and you're Ba'aretz. Vos meintes. So Nefesh HaChaim zokt hazeh. Scary words. Scary words. He says, Tzorich ha'odom leida ad kamo heichon magia pegam avinoisev. Person has to know, when you do an avera, you don't necessarily feel it. You don't realize how much destruction you're doing with your words. Or your actions, not dafka words, actions. He says, why? He says, if an ish Yisraeli, a Jewish person, who has a choshev in the neshama, oise chet kal, you do a little avera, what you perceive as a small avera. Yivgom, listen to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Yivgom yoiser, mima shepogam titus ha-rosha yimachshimoi b'chub b'beis ha-migdash. Yeah? I'm not saying those words. Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner is saying, if you or I do a smaller chet over here, it could be more destructive then Titus Arosha, Yemach Shemoi, when he's Machr of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Liyoi says Reb Chaim Volozhiner. The reason being, Ki Nafshoi Rak Nefesh HaBehema. Titus had a very shvach neshama. He was like a behema. Al Kain Ein Oila Pagam Rad Ad Mokoim Sherish Nishmasa. How much destruction can a destructive person, right, is less impacting? It's an animal. If an animal does an avla, okay, it's an animal. It's an animal. Titus tachad nefesh abahamas. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, aval nishmas Yisrael, the neshama of a Jew, chatsuvo tachas kise akovoid, chelek alokam imal, the nefesh of a Jew, hamechune b'shem Yaakov chevel nachlosei, Al kein b'choitem b'pigoi b'chitoi p'hoigem b'rum mimal.
Azay zakhta.
And that's how he understands. Now we understand that could be a whole different explanation, not necessarily with tefillah, which the Zohar HaKadosh is talking about. Shlomo Melech is not telling us, be careful. And when he says Hashem is b'shamayim, he's talking about your peace that's connected to Hashem. You may be down here, but there's a chibur all the way up. When you do something, it could be very destructive. So that's his understanding. The Chovos HaLevavos also seems to learn this is not necessarily tefillah. But I want to give you the stipulus pshat. I'll show you first the Chovos HaLevavos. In Shar Avodas Elokim, the Mesillas Yesharim learns that this is a general mussar from Shlomo HaMelech to be careful what we say. Poshet shtike. And he says, Hadibur, you have to be careful with your speech. Silence is better than speaking. And he says, that's what Omar HaChochem, that's what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said, Al tevehel picha v'lipcha yimai lohitzi dover lifnei alekim. So this is more along the lines of Reb Chaim Volozhin. The destruction of Dibur. But again, if we go back to the Zohar and the Evan Ezra, they're learning that this is to do with tefillah. So how do we connect this to tefillah? And how do we navigate the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, where the Bavli says that this pasuk is telling us not to do a lot of talking when we talk to Hashem, and the Yerushalmi is saying, when Chana davened a lot, so I want to tell you what I think could be another pshat, and it very much connects to the Yom Ne'orim. The Yom Ne'orim, we have to know, we go into Yom Ne'orim, we have unbelievable powers, for sure. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, they used to go into the Yom Ne'orim. So Shlomo Zalman used to say, he said, a person often thinks, who am I? Who am I? See, he gave a great mashal. He gave a great mashal. Shlomo Zalman said, what would be, imagine, mitzvah Hashem, tchiyas ha-meisim. And imagine you hear that the G'doyli Oilam from the Doris before had a tchiyas ha-meisim. And they have the Ovis, they all woke up. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov woke up. And then the next Shlav, Moshe and Aaron. Moshe, Aaron, and David. Psh, unbelievable. They had a tchiyas ha-meisim. And then there was a G'doyli HaTanoim. Reb Akiva v'Chaverov, another three Tanoim, tchiyas ha-meisim. And they're all staying on your street. They're in a house on your street. They took over a house. These are good immigrants. They're on a house on your street. You would be afraid to walk out of your house. I'm going to pass by a house where Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Reb Akiva v'Chaverov. You'd be afraid to, and rightfully so. Well, mitamo, the door flings open. Pachat. And Avraham Avinu sticks his head out. He sees you. You like, he goes, come here. We need you. So, Klif Shlomo Zalman, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov, Moshe, Aaron, and David, Reb Akiva v'Chaverov, they need me. Zokt Avraham Avinu, we can't say Kaddish. You need Asora. We need 10 Jews. We only have 9. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yankov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Allah. But they don't have 10 Jews? Boom. You walk in, little you. You're not so little. You think you're little. You walk in. Now the others could say Kaddish. Shlomo Zalman said, Das is unsere Koyach. Each Yid has that Koyach. To be mashlem a minion for the others. So don't diminish your koiches. The stipler comes, the stipler says, so why do we find a lot of times our tefillahs are not answered? Stipler says, we don't ask for the right things. The stipler says, we don't ask for the right things. He says, when we say, Zachreinu l'chaim, l'chofetz b'chaim, l'chosveinu b'sefer ha-chaim, l'mancho l'kim chaim. What's the l'mancho l'kim chaim? He says, when a person asks for things, he has to convey to Hashem what he's going to do with it. There has to be a leman chol kimchay. If I'm asking for things that I want to use for Tzorchei Shemayim, if that's what I'm asking, it's a big request. It's a very big request, but that's going to be answered. The problem is, as Chazal tells us, we ask like a kelev. Give me a hot dog. Give me a bone. We don't ask for the right things. We definitely don't ask for the things to be used for the right purpose. The story I said over from the Stipel, and I used to say this for years. I only maybe the last 5 years stopped saying it by Nila. I used to say it before Nila to the shul. I used to tell him, when you go to Nila, think about the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Don't just ask for yourself. Think about what are you going to do for the Rabbanu Shel Olam? Incorporate that into your tefillah. What are you going to do? You're asking, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with what you're asking? I always told the Olam that the Stipel Zatzal was once asked a shayla by a koil. The Manal knows the story by heart. There was a koil in Bnei Brak. And the koil in Bnei Brak was they had a gemach attached to the koil. And the gemach used to lend money out to people that are learning. The gemach, they would raise money. How much do you raise money in Bnei Brak? A couple of shekel here, a couple of shekel there. All of a sudden, they got this huge windfall. What was it? There was a almona, not even a religious woman, almona, that they used to raise money, and she would give them 10 shekel, 20 shekel, a small amount. But she felt a connection to the gemach. She felt a connection. They didn't know. She put into her tzava that when she dies, her apartment in Tel Aviv goes to the gemach. Could you imagine? Not to her descendants, to the gemach. And they got notified. So mamish, the gemach made in that one thing more than all the years compounded. Who knows how many? It was a windfall. Anyway, needless to say, the Yarshim weren't very happy. The Yarshim, they wanted the apartment, but it was a will, and the will was written properly. The Yarshim came with a claim that the Almana of the Manal, remember that the lady, the old lady, could not have done that bedas. She was not sane. When she signed this will, she was not sane. There's no way she would have given her apartment to some bunch of religious zealots in Bnei Brak. She was a secular woman living in Tel Aviv. Well, it can't be. That was their argument. And they were going to try to bring, witnesses and this and what kind of relationship. Anyway, the case, like in the States, the case, you don't have full control where the case lands. It landed by some Israeli judge, who was known to be a Soine Torah. Rahman al-Islam. He was antagonistic. He was Jewish, but he was antagonistic. So the Gemach figured they should quickly make a settlement, because they're going to lose the apartment. Make a settlement with the family, 10 cents on the dollar. They'll get 10,000 shekel. Good, let's just get at it. Let's just do it. That's what they thought. But one of the people involved with the koil, with the gemach, said, listen, it's stock of money. You have to ask a gadol. You can't just make a decision, stock of money. Makes sense that we should make a settlement, but you have to ask a gadol. They went to the stipler. The stipler listens to the whole thing. He asked them a couple of questions. He says, don't give in. Go to trial. Go to trial with lawyers. It's not a pashta zach, and we could lose the whole thing. Here she, they're ready, the family's ready to give us 10 cents on the dollar, whatever they're ready to give. Then they tell the stipler, but the judge is a signee Torah. Go. This is what happened by the case. Both sides present their case. Anybody sitting in the courtroom would have said, the family has a strong case. It's not like this gemach they had up as a familiar connection. It was just they knew the lady and they raised money from her. Anyway, the lawyer representing the family presents his sat, and then he goes through the woman's history. She was not observant. She was not. After he finishes his drasha, the judge looks at them, at the attorney representing the family and the family, and he says, I think you should, this couldn't happen in American court. I think you should all be ashamed of yourselves. He says, your grandmother wanted a chelek in Olam Habo. How do you know? You're telling me she had no motive? Could be she wanted with her apartment liknot chelek po'olam haba. You're saying it's impossible. Shame on you. How do you know? And then they continued the case. Anyway, that was the first proceeding. The family decided this case is not going their way. They quickly went to the gemach after the case, and they made a settlement. But the settlement was 10 cents on their dollar. The gemach won the case. They gave the family a little dmei pius, and they got the apartment. And they came to the stipler, and they asked the stipler. The stipler said, listen, the gemach is not a moisid. It's not a moisid. A moisid, you have people working, they're getting paid, they have panos. Sometimes it's l'shem shemayim. Some is not l'shem shemayim. He says, the gemach, nobody took one penny from that gemach. There was nobody with a salary. Nobody. It was just money coming in, giving out aniyim. He says, so who was the case against? The stipler looks at the people. He goes, "Tase given kineged the Baruch Shalom. The Baruch Shalom doesn't lose cases. Hashem doesn't lose cases." Now it's interesting. The stipler, if it would have been an organization, even a good organization with employees, with staff, with people that have their own interests, he would have given maybe a different ahira. This was the right. That's the leman cholikim chayim. Leman cholikim chayim. Now I want to tell you pshat in this pasuk in Koheles. Kam Shlomo HaMelech, and he says, there are two ways to ask for a request. You could ask for a request that's only for you. That's called, Chazal call it a nachla mevuhelas. When Bnei God or Bnei Ruvain came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, we want to have land that's good for our cattle to graze. Gashmias. So what does the Medrash call it? Nachlo mivuheles. Confusion. You're asking for the wrong thing. What does Shlomo HaMelech call this? Al tevaheles picha. Right? Now. Memela al kein yudvarecha muatim. For yourself. Your word should be little. It should... Your request should mainly be for Shemayim. Dvarecha, what's for you, your things, should be muatim. You know why? Ki ato ba'aretz ve'lekim ba'shamayim. You're talking to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. You're talking to the Shpitz Ruchni. So when you ask for something, it should have something to do with Shemayim. Ato ba'aretz, but the Rebbeinu Shlomo is ba'shamayim. Zokti Yerushalmi. What did Chana do? Chana was marble ispalel for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. But ispalel al Hashem. She davened for Hashem. She said, give me a son, and I will give him to Vishiltiu Hashem. That's asking for big things. That's not asking for the things over here. That's kolamalbe. That kind of kolamalbe is miyad nene. And that's the message of Shlomo HaMelech. And now we understand why Shlomo HaMelech says, you could get confused because you're down here. So you're going to ask for things over here. Remember, you're asking Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Hashamayim. And that's a very good hakdomeh to the Yom HaMeroyim to make sure that we ask for the right things. If you integrate whatever request you have, how are you going to use it for Shamayim? Then there's a special Siyata Deshmaya for that to be Taka Miskab. Okay, we'll go to the... Do we have time to do Halacha now? Menal, you have to paskin. Should we do Halacha?